Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. During the final days of the year, we've been looking back on the year just ending with members of the St. Louis Public Radio news staff reviewing the top news stories in their beats. We welcome Rachel Lippman, who covers criminal justice and city politics and has had a very busy year.
I usually do.
Indeed, yeah, you do. Those two areas get a lot of attention. Was there, Rachel, a most important story of the year in your beat?
I think you would have to look at the election of Mayor Lyda Crewson. Joe and Jason have probably already talked about this story, but I think it deserves another mention because she is the first woman mayor in the history of the city of St. Louis, replaced a long-serving mayor in Francis Slay, the longest one in the history of the city, and also just has led to some changes even within the criminal justice area with asking Chief Dotson to resign, appointing Chief O'Toole, how he has handled some of the protests in recent months has come under scrutiny. Also, too, the criminal justice system on the prosecutor side looked different as well, with Kim Gardner being sworn in January. She is the first African-American circuit attorney in the history of the city and also replaced a long-serving office holder in Jennifer Joyce. So you had those two offices looking very, very different and hence sort of the city and the structure of both criminal justice and city politics looking pretty different.
Going back to Mayor Crewson, she hit the ground running, obviously, as you alluded to. And I noticed you were very careful in choosing your words about how Chief Dotson left his post.
It was a retirement. He did not resign. He was not fired. Yeah. He spent a year on as a consultant for the department. So I guess they're coming up on, the last kind of 4 months of that. He was also a finalist for another chief's job down in Texas. I don't believe he got it. It was down in Midland, Texas. And I'm sure he's looking at other opportunities kind of elsewhere. But they were very clear in their language that he had, been asked to retire or had retired, whether that was of his own volition or whether he was encouraged to. You can debate that. I think you can kind of read between the lines. But yes, first day, I was actually in Boston when she was inaugurated and when Dotson was asked to step down.
Well, another big story could be yet to happen. That would be the naming of a permanent police chief.
Yes.
Could happen almost any time.
Yes. Mayor Crewson and her public safety director, Jimmy Edwards, the former judge, who is actually the one who will make the hire of the police chief. They said they want it done by the end of the year. I was joking around that means the 29th at 5 o'clock. I really hope not. But it could slip into early next year, like the first week of January.
Well, you mentioned Jimmy Edwards, and I wanted to mention that in another context, but I'll do it here. His appointment as public safety director is just recent. And then we have Nicole Hudson, who was appointed by the mayor early on in her administration. It looks to me, given what the political campaign was like with Lyda Crewson running against Shara Jones, that she is reaching out to the black community. Do you see it that way?
She's making an effort to. Both Nicole Holloway and Jimmy Edwards are respected within the African American community and some of the younger protest community. They are at least willing to give Judge Edwards a shot. He's done a lot of work within the sort of juvenile court and juvenile justice system. He has, and I'm going to totally blank on the name of that school, but he has the sort of Innovative Concepts Academy, where he tries to help young men that he's seen in the juvenile court program. Get an education, succeed. There was a whole documentary on the efforts that he's done. So she's at least putting in place people who are – they're going to be given a chance to succeed, whether or not they deliver on anything. I know some people who just sit there and go, what are they doing? What is Nicole Holloway doing at $150,000 a year? But there is the sense that at least they'll be given a chance to succeed. The choice of police chief, I think, could make or break the relationship, any relationship or respect that Edwards has.
There's no hint or clue yet as to who this.
You can read tea leaves. You can speculate. We know the six finalists. It depends on whether they believe there's an outsider needed or an insider needed. I know the protest community wants nothing to do with O'Toole. You would have to think that the mayor sees that and recognizes, and Judge Edwards too, see that and recognize that if they put Chief O'Toole in as the permanent replacement, that any chance of improving the relationships between some of the community and the police department, the chance of that goes down pretty well.
The protests following the Stockley verdict were a challenge to Lyda Crewson and also to the community as a whole. But it seems to be, given what you just said, they've had some impact, certainly, on reaction by politicians.
Sure. In terms of policy adjustments and changes, not really. Not that hasn't had their hand forced. I think the biggest is going to be a lawsuit filed on behalf there were two named plaintiffs, and then the overall class was on behalf of anyone who has or may protest. So essentially, whatever the population of the world is, technically is covered by this lawsuit. It was filed by the ACLU saying that the tactics the police had used, especially during the early days, and that infamous kettling incident where they caught up a St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter, an Air Force individual, I think there was an undercover cop caught up in that kettle, that police tactics were unconstitutional. And a federal judge has agreed and said, yes, you have to make immediate changes to how you police protests, how you use and arrest people, that you can't declare something an unlawful assembly simply because two or three people are acting up, that you have to, you know, target and arrest those individuals. You can't indiscriminately use pepper spray or mace or any other chemical agents. That's a preliminary injunction from Judge Catherine Perry, and she has sent that to mediation really early on. Usually mediation comes much later in the process after they've already done discovery, but I think she's saying, you know what, let's get this fixed. There is also a Department of Justice investigation into the police department, but I think given the current political climate and the current head of the Department of Justice, this ACLU lawsuit may end up having the greater impact.
The public behind the police department, however, as evidenced by the passage of Proposition P,
you could, to the extent that they believe the officers need a raise. Proposition P, there was actually one in both the city and the county. The county passed its half-cent sales tax increase for increased funding for the police department in April. And that sparked a reaction in the city to pass its own or to introduce and propose its own Proposition P, also a half-cent sales tax increase, to attempt to close the widening pay gap between officers in the city and the county. They were worried about just a huge exodus of officers leaving for better-paying jobs, not only with the county but in the surrounding municipalities, because the municipalities got some of the money from that sales tax increase too. Proposition P passed. I wouldn't call it with overwhelming support throughout the city. The margin was larger than I thought it would be, but it was kind of a lot of wards supported it, not lukewarm, but enough. The South wards, the map actually looked pretty similar to how Mayor Lyda Crewson was elected, with really strong support down in the far South wards, 16th, 23rd, 11th, the wards you kind of always think of, and, you know, kind of shades of gray up towards, you know, the north side. And the way they marketed it was, you know, hey, officers need a raise, and that resonated with a lot of people who, talked to a couple candidates for the second ward, which was a special aldermanic race, and they said, we want to see more police up there. And if more police, Ward 2 is all the way north. It runs north of 270. And to have more police, you need to keep the police you already have. So that message resonated with people, that if we don't pay our officers more, more are going to leave, and the service that we're seeing is already going to get worse.
They wanted to see more police rather than professional soccer in a brand new stadium.
Yes, yes. Police won. The soccer stadium did not.
And that's that. We'll try that again.
We'll try that. I'm sure. Who knows? With the next round of expansion, from my perspective, we had the whole debate over the football stadium, and that went nowhere. I think that might have impacted the result of the soccer stadium vote a little bit, but I think, at least from sort of watching it, the soccer stadium was at least worth a try, in that you had people, willing partners in the game. You had a team that was saying, yes, we'll build the stadium, or a partnership that said, yes, we'll build the stadium. It looked like we could probably get a team. All of the signs were there. So there was at least something that you could say, you know what, maybe if they build it, they will come. That message didn't register. And, you know, however people voted, that's fine. But at least from the perspective of me looking at it, this was a gamble that made sense in some ways. Whereas the football stadium, we didn't have a willing partner in Stan Kroenke.
And there was something called stadium fatigue, too, I think.
Sure,
someone
sure.
called it that, and that
yes.
seems
yes.
likely.
Yes.
Back to the police now, because clearly one of the major stories of the year, the final chapter yet to be written until it won't be until the midnight and the 31st. And that's the horrific number of homicides in the city.
Yes. We were at 203 as of, I think, last Thursday or Friday. There had been a triple homicide up on the north side, as a lot of them are, that pushed the number up over 200. It's the first time it's been that high since 1995. It's not a record number, but with the loss of population, it is probably a record rate in terms of homicide per population.
Clearly, it's a very frustrating problem for the mayor and the police chief, acting or otherwise, and anyone living in the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear reports all the time of gunshots heard, fired here and there, and mm-hmm. occasionally a kid or an innocent bystander is gunned down that way.
Is hit that way, sure. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of officers tell me that what's difficult about homicides is that they're hard to predict, especially if it's a, you know, dispute. You may know that two people are beefing, but you don't know when they're going to meet up with each other or the circumstances of which. There's also a lot more guns available now than there were back in, you know, the 1990s. John Green, who is the homicide commander, they did a briefing on last Thursday or Friday, I think it was, and he said what has changed from the 1990s, it was driven a lot in the 1990s by gangs. You sort of knew who the warring parties were. You could get in there, you could disrupt, you could make some arrests, you could really target kind of areas where this is happening. He was a patrol officer back in the 1990s. He's now commanding homicide. He said now it's, you know, a lot of it is just interpersonal disputes by two people who are armed. Someone steps on somebody else's shoes or looks at them wrong or disrespects their girlfriend or their brother or their sister, and all of a sudden it's, you know, we've turned and are firing weapons at each other. And they're more available. They're more powerful than they were back in the 1990s because they're just easily accessible. There are things that can be done. Cities have gotten their homicide rates under control better than St. Louis has. It's just, what can they find that will stick and work in St. Louis?
What have other cities been doing, do you know?
Kansas City had its No Violence Alliance, which was a really targeted outreach of getting into the communities, working out the conflicts that are there, trying to really kind of build interpersonal relationships between the officers and the community and within the community itself so that the disputes weren't escalating to gunfire in the way that they appear to be in St. Louis. Jennifer Joyce, when she was the circuit attorney, was looking into doing a similar sort of alliance program. She was also looking into doing more deterrence programs to take individuals who maybe are carrying a weapon or have less violent gun crimes on their record than firing a shot at someone and trying to steer them away from crime. Those efforts don't seem to be as prominent in Circuit Attorney Gardner's repertoire right now.
The gun buyback program was a bit more of a success than people anticipated, but probably not going to make much of a difference in the crime.
I mean, as we talked about last week, one gun off the street that isn't in the hands of a wrong person, you know, who knows how many people that may have impacted. But just judging from the number and the types of guns that they got, I'm not sure they got as much from the city of St. Louis as they wanted to. It was a no questions asked, so they couldn't ask, you know, oh, where's this weapon coming from? But I was there briefly on Saturday morning when the mayor and Judge Edwards and Chief O'Toole did an availability just to talk about how it was going. And they took some, you know, nasty looking weapons off the street, assault style weapons, sawed off shotguns, etc. But there were a lot of people in line wearing camouflage, a lot of trucks with, you know, hunting memorabilia on it. So you wonder if, you know, people in St. Charles or Jefferson County or Franklin County or neighboring counties and over in Illinois didn't come and say, I've got this old hunting rifle that I don't want anything to do with. And because it was no questions asked, they could take the gun and get the cash for it.
Given the problem, just as you've outlined it here, it just has me thinking about the new police chief. and whether it makes more sense to have someone come in from out of town who has experience maybe dealing with this successfully someplace else, or someone homegrown who knows the turf.
I mean, it's that's sort of a, you know, what do you think is yeah. best for the department? Interestingly enough, Bruce Franks and other protesters have said that you need someone from inside the department because, oh, they know how St. Louis works yeah. and they know all of its tensions and peculiarities and stuff like that. But at the same time, their concern is that the, you know, department is problematic and racist from top to bottom, then how do you improve the culture with someone who's come up through those ranks? I don't know. It's an interesting debate. I've long thought they might bring in someone from the outside for a couple of years and then they move on after doing what they could, and it goes back to an internal candidate, as happened in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, a couple of years ago, 14-15, hired its first external hire in 160 years of the department, and 2.5 years later, that individual was gone for another internal hire. So,
what else do you have on your list as having been especially important to you and to the community?
I've covered kind of a lot of stuff. I think, again, just sort of the violence and the way that it is impacting people and impacting the communities. I mean, we did a whole kind of series on it back in 2016, but it remains important then. Something that I'd like to kind of dig into in 2018 a little bit is just how different the courthouse looks. There are a lot of judges that reached retirement age or have departed for other positions. Judge Edwards, for example, left to become Mayor Crewson's public safety director. Judge Julian Bush is now the city councilor. Judge Robert Durker, who was also approaching retirement age, he went and is, I think, taking a position with Circuit Attorney Gardner's mm-hmm. office. Plus, there were, I think, 4 or 5 other judges who had retired. So there's a lot of turnover and possibility to really shape how the judges are in the St. Louis City courthouse. They're not elected. They'd be appointed by the Judicial Commission and then chosen by Governor Greitens.
You spend a lot of time at the Aldermanic sessions
yes.
every Friday. Anything you jump out at you from that experience?
Well, it's so much of what is going on right now with city politics is either as a result of the 2017 outcome, the outcome of the 2017 election, or looking ahead to the battles that are shaping up over 2019. Nobody can seem to move past 2017, or they're trying to set themselves up for 2019. And it's just leading to an inability to, in my view, really kind of work on legislative stuff. There are too many ideas being cast aside because, oh, the wrong person is presenting them, or ideas get co-opted by the right person to make that individual look better in the 2019 races coming up. A lot of the disputes between the treasurer's office and certain aldermen go back to the 2017 race. I don't know if it is worse this year or I'm just noticing it more, but that's kind of what it feels like, is that we're constantly relitigating 2017 while also trying to jockey for 2019.
It's complicated.
That would be the status.
We have a caller here who wants to get into the conversation. Let's bring in Lawrence calling from Baden. Lawrence, go ahead. You're on the air with Rachel Lippman.
Yeah, good afternoon. One thing you haven't discussed here today, and it's important to the city of St. Louis, vacant properties.
Thank you.
The St. Louis has the LRA, that entity. There are so many vacant properties in the city of St. Louis, and they're very, the next thing you know, they're vandalized and they're beyond redemption. And I know there's some alder people that are interested in finding solutions to this, but I'm not hearing anything from my new mayor. I'm hearing this, that, and the other thing about the new office towers and that swell and the ballpark village and the Shake Shack and oh boy. When, by the way, some of the, I don't want to mention names, but there are some businesses that are hurting that Shake Shack are based off of. I'll just keep my mouth shut and thank you for your time.
Lawrence, thanks for calling.
He's right. Vacant buildings are a huge issue in a lot of parts of the city. Alderman Sam Moore likes to have at his front desk, he represents the Ville, the greater Ville mm-hmm. area, has at his desk at the Board of Aldermen photos of crumbling vacant buildings that the city needs to tear down. There was some money from the Proposition P tax increase slated to board ups and demolition. A lot of it is just as it is through, you know, with a lot of problems in the city. there are a lot of vacant buildings. And the question is, how far do you let them go before you have to tear them down? And, you know, the fire department will tell you, too. They don't like really having the vacant buildings around. They tell me all the time, vacant buildings don't just spontaneously light on fire. So when there's one on fire, they're going in and saying there's probably someone who is homeless living in here, or, you know, someone was in here committing a crime, and they never know whether the buildings are actually vacant. So they have to go in and search and make sure.
And so voters turned down Proposition NS also during the course of the year, which would have rehabbed a lot of these vacant.
It would
buildings.
Have helped. There was, and I haven't checked on this in a while, there was an attempt to try and declare that they had read the portion of the election statute wrong, and that it actually had passed because it wasn't, right. It didn't need as many votes as they thought it did. But I don't know the status of that and where that is. That's just kind of another one of those, oh, yeah, I wonder what ever happened to.
Something to do before the end of the year.
Exactly.
One or two other things in the time we have left, which is just about 2 minutes. A big deal for a portion of the year was the Confederate monument.
Yes.
and the
street
mail,
around that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was part of a national thing going on.
Sure.
That was sort of a big deal nationally.
It was, and as the monuments in New Orleans were coming down, it prompted a reflection here in St. Louis over the Confederate monument that did stand in Forest Park. Mayor Crewson decided a month or two after that she took office that she was going to act, that they were going to get the contractor in, start taking it apart. The Civil War Museum and on behalf of the United Daughters of the Confederacy sued to halt it. The city said, fine, you want to pay for it. We just want it out of the park. Once that happened, that story kind of went away. It's just now, as far as I know, I haven't been back to the park in a while, but I think it's just kind of a grassy knoll
yeah.
with the little Spanish cannon still there.
And the time left, Larry Rice lost his empire.
For now, that's one where there's still sort of pending court cases out there, whether or not it was actually a nuisance. But as of right now, the New Life Evangelistic Center is not open and operating as a homeless shelter. The city built and opened its own emergency overnight shelter in the old Biddle Market building. But whether that is actually making a dent in the problem of getting homeless off the street, we don't know yet. I don't know that it's been open long enough.
30 seconds left. What are you looking forward to in 2018?
Oh, just seeing how the new chief goes, who it is, what kind of ideas they bring in, and whether Proposition P actually helps keep officers here or if there's other things driving them away.
Plenty to be looking at. Rachel Lippman, thank you so much. Congratulations on your good work.
Thank you.
Throughout the past 12 months, and I'm sure you'll do the same in the forthcoming 12. Thank you. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.